This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to call Senate Health and Human Services to order. We really appreciate everyone being here and want to welcome everyone that's listening in on the internet. I also want to say just a special hello to all, for those of you that can't see our room. We have a lot of people here from Aberdeen. It's Aberdeen Day. And so we really appreciate all of you being in the room, and thank you for visiting your capital and being a part of the process. All right, Pages, would you come up and introduce yourself? This is a new week of Pages, and they're just really getting their wheels under them. Introduce yourself, where you're from, and what you're thinking about for your future.
My name is Audrey Cope. I'm from Rapid City, South Dakota. I go to St. Thomas More, and I'm planning to study political science.
Thanks for helping us today, Audrey. Come on up.
My name is Sydney Swanson. I'm from Wabay, South Dakota. I plan to attend South Dakota State University for pre-vet animal science and a minor in ag business, and then attend Iowa State University for vet med.
Great. Thanks for helping us out today. This would be a great time for everyone to check out your phones and make sure that they're on vibrate or and won't interrupt our proceedings. For those that are interested in testifying on our bills today, we would ask that you sign in at the podium and just please print legibly. That really helps us out. All right, we will be deferring on our agenda House Bill 1118 until Monday at the request of the prime sponsor. And so just for that information and for the record. Senators, before us, we have the minutes of Wednesday, February 15th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Yes, Rena, is that right? Well, we have to do roll call to see if we can do business. We'll start there. Thank you.
Senators Greenfield, Jensen.
Here.
Plum, Killer, Rush, Tapio,
here.
Soholt.
Here. All right, we do have a quorum. And now I would entertain a motion. Thank you, Senator Jensen, and a second by Senator Tapio to approve the minutes of February 15th. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. All right, those minutes are carried. Thank you very much. All right, let's move ahead with House Bill 1084, which is an act to allow chiropractic corporations operated as sole proprietorships to be operated for a certain time after the death of a chiropractor. And we'll open up proponent testimony and want to welcome Senator Ewing. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. I am Bob Ewing, Senator from District 31 up in the hills. And I have a relatively simple bill for you before you today, House Bill 1084. The title is an act to allow chiropractic corporations operated as sole proprietorships to be operated for a certain time after the death of a chiropractor. And we certainly hope this is not a bill that or legislation that would get used very often. But for business continuity, if a chiropractor dies or becomes disabled, there is currently no provision in law that allows this. I think it's just a good sense piece of legislation that I didn't realize all these years that this group didn't have this option if someone passed on or became disabled. So with that, I will turn it over to some other folks that are more up on the bill. And I'm going to run back to my committee, so I'm sure that the folks that will follow will be able to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1084. Good morning, Representative. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Leslie Heineman, District 8 Representative. I'm here today in support of this bill before you. The question, I guess, before you is do you allow someone that is a acting or working chiropractor that deceases, do you allow his or her estate, or in most cases, the wife or the husband, to continue to operate that structure for a limited period of time such that they can market it or find someone else to come in and take over the practice until such time they can find someone to replace them. The issue really is allowing an extension of time up to 24 months. And if you'll recall, some of you, 2 years ago, the Dental Association and the dentists came through with a similar product because we have the same dilemma. And again, I testified in committee that if I were to die, I would hope that my wife would be able to continue to run my practice until such time I could find someone or she could find someone else to carry on that process. In current state law now with the chiropractors, you cannot do that. The day that person dies, then that license has to be, it ceases to exist because that person isn't there. So this would allow that process. So appreciate your consideration. I think it's a great bill to offer to our chiropractors. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Great. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1084. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Deb Mortensen, I'm the registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Chiropractors Association, and I thank my bill sponsors for setting this up very well. Run through a couple of talking points here. This does apply only to sole proprietors. Right now in state law, only chiropractors can hire chiropractors. So if a sole proprietor is deceased or substantially disabled, nothing much they can do other than let the practice value decline, and that happens very quickly. Sometimes within 2 weeks, the patients are gone. You have nothing left to sell. And as you'll notice in this bill, it only allows this personal representative or the estate to hire a chiropractor for up to 24 months. As Dr. Heineman mentioned, this is modeled after the dentist statute. I would also like to draw your attention to the bill. You see that it was hoghoused in House Health, and I'll explain the reason for that. Originally, when we drafted the bill, we had housed it under the Chiropractors Practice Act in Chapter 36. The exam board and the Department of Health contemplated this for a while and decided that a better spot would be the Chiropractic Corporation section of law, which is Chapter 47, and we completely agreed, so we did have that hoghouse taken care of in House Health. So that's the extent of my remarks. I thank you in advance, and I urge passage of the bill, and I will answer any questions if I can. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further proponent testimony on House Bill 1084? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony, House Bill 1084? Seeing none, I'll open it up for questions from the senators. Yes, Senator Jensen.
Question for Representative Heineman. What would happen in the event that a chiropractor was disabled?
Go ahead. Yes.
Generally speaking, the license would still be valid, if you will, so the practice could continue. He could, or he, she could hire someone to come in. Actually, that's happening in my practice right now. I'm partially disabled, and so I have an associate that I've hired that's come in. So my license is still valid, and that's what we work under, although she now has a license as well.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
A follow-up. Any further questions from the senators? Seeing none, I'll close it to questions and open it up for committee action and or discussion. Senator Tapio.
I make a motion to do pass.
Second.
It has been moved by Senator Tapio to do pass and seconded by Senator Jensen. Discussion on your motion, sir.
I had several chiropractors call me from Watertown, and they thought that this was a great preventative solution for something that could pop up in the future for all chiropractors, and along with the dentists that have already done it. Seems like a good piece of legislation. Thank you.
Any further discussion? I just appreciate the brevity and the clarity that really gets to the intent of what needs to happen. And I think the period of 24 months that there is time to, you know, secure the asset and try to assure the sale, it's just, I think, a really good piece of legislation. We have before us a do-pass motion on House Bill 1084. All those in favor will say aye. All opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Greenfield.
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Klum? Excused. Killer?
Aye.
Rush? Excused. Tapio?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Five ayes.
It has been affirmed. House Bill 1084. Senator Tapio?
I move to the consent calendar.
Is a move by Senator Tapio and seconded by Senator Greenfield for consent calendar on House Bill 1084. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. All right. House Bill 1084 will move down to the Senate floor on consent. Thank you very much. All right, we're moving on to House Bill 1044, an act to revise certain provisions regarding wholesale drug distributors to provide for licensure and regulation of outsourcing facilities for certain drugs and to establish a fee for licensure of outsourcing facilities. We'll open up with proponent testimony. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for allowing me to come and testify before you as a proponent to this bill. My name is Carrie Shannard-Kunders. I am the executive at the South Dakota Board of Pharmacy. We're located in Sioux Falls. Today we are talking about House Bill 1044. Really, the genesis of this bill was the 2012 activity of the New England Compounding Center when 778 people were injured, and of those, 78 people died due to a pharmacy acting like a manufacturer. Pharmacies can compound for patient-specific medications, but not necessarily in groups to sell to hospitals and doctors' offices and clinics. And in this case, the FDA had actually closed down a manufacturer of a steroid injection. And if any of you have ever had a steroid injection in a joint or in your back or something, you know how many people get those. It is a very frequently used product. So this pharmacy was contacted to make many, many batches of this and got very sloppy and started realizing how much money they could make, and they infected all these people with fungal meningitis, and of which the 78 deaths occurred. Now, after this, the FDA and the states all said, we need to do better. We cannot allow something like this to happen again. And we need to craft some legislation. So Congress passed in 2013 the DQSA, Drug Quality and Security Act, which had two parts. They also wanted to address the issue with counterfeit product being provided to pharmacies for sale and hospitals and other entities for sale, as well as create a new type of registrant that would be called an outsourcing facility. This outsourcing facility registrant with the FDA and with states could provide non-specific patient compounding, sterile compounding. So they put that category into place. They said basically states could not regulate that entity as a wholesaler or as a pharmacy. They basically need to regulate them as an outsourcer. So what we're doing with this is we're really following federal guidelines, and whether you believe in the FDA or not, they keep our food supply safe and they keep our drugs safe, and so we really feel the need to comply with this, so we're regulating in that manner. We do regulate currently 1,135 wholesalers that send drug into our state, so we actually have this license in place, and we have put this category into the wholesale distributors until such time as we could get legislation changed. So I would urge your passage of it, and I will stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1044. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Myron Rao, President and Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Trucking Association. When this bill was first drafted, we looked at it in great detail and were involved in some amendments that took place in the House committee. We like this bill now. We didn't because as third-party logistics providers, we just transport the pharmaceuticals. We don't open the boxes. If the box needs to be refrigerated, we do that. We handle it the way the manufacturer wants us to, and that's all we do. So we felt we should be exempt from the licensing. We are now in this bill, so we rise in support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony, House Bill 1044. Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to House Bill 1044? Seeing none, we'll open it up to questions from the committee. Seeing none, we'll bring, do you have a question, Senator Tappy? No?
I'll
yes, no.
Move to do pass on this as well.
Okay, we have a motion to pass on House Bill 1044 from Senator Tapio and a second from Senator Killer. A discussion on the motion.
Once again, this is a bill that is brought by the folks in the state that oversee this, and it looks like there's no opposition, and so we just look forward to passing this.
Is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Greenfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I remember correctly, about 3-4 weeks ago, this wasn't a simple little bill, and the folks worked together and figured out a way to make it work. I know I met with a lady who had come from Kansas to express opposition to the bill as it had been drafted in the first place, but as we've worked through the process, everything has obviously worked out smoothly, and I appreciate everybody's efforts to make it work. So I'd encourage your support. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator, for pointing that out, because I think that's part of how the process works right, that it can start in one chamber with a lot of opposition, and if people are willing to come to the table and negotiate, then we can work it into a product that's acceptable. So thank you for pointing that out. Any further discussion? We have a do-pass motion in front of us on House Bill 1044. All in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Greenfield?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Plum? Excused. Killer?
Aye.
Rush? Excused. Tapio?
Aye.
Soho?
Aye.
Five ayes.
All right. So House Bill 1044 has a do-pass motion. There is a fee, so we will, I don't know if we have to do we, Senator, necessarily have to discuss all those on the floor with a fee?
I think that in this case it's going to be ruled that it, but is it continuously appropriated?
No, but we need to talk about, I know this is really out of order, but I would like to bring the Executive Director up to talk about that a little bit because of our decision on what we're going to do on the next step of a motion. Because we had conversation about the fee. So it's a little out of order, but we have time. So would you please clarify that issue of a fee?
Certainly. The fee is a new fee for a new entity that will be licensing these outsourcing facilities. They have currently been paying the $200, which is what we're putting on the outsourcing facility as a wholesale distributor with the board. So there is no new fee necessarily. They'll just be paying a fee as a different entity. And further, we have been registering the 3PLs and regulating them, and we'll no longer be doing that in this bill. And so that's a reduction of fees that will be coming to the Board of Pharmacy. And we operate with no general funds. We operate on our licensure fees only with the board.
Did you have a question for that?
The fund is continuously appropriated, correct?
Appropriated, I'm sorry, from
the
state?
There's no appropriated dollars.
No.
I'm sorry, within your budget, that's an informational budget as presented to appropriations, is that correct?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. I don't believe we ever submit our budget to appropriations. It's just within the board.
They are fully self-funded, so there's no general fund appropriation to the Board of Pharmacy.
Well, we've got a lot of boards that are fully funded, and their budgets are heard by appropriations as informational budgets, like the Board of Cosmetology, Barbers, et cetera.
Madam Chair,
yes.
We are an informational budget with the Department of Health.
I think that my guess is that the President of the Senate would rule that because it's an informational budget. It's continuously appropriated and outside the realm of legislative, typical legislative appropriations process. I'm guessing he'll rule it to two-thirds, but we can try to put it on consent.
I'm not certain. Well, we'll see. So let's do this. Let's not put this on consent, and let's take it down to the floor of the Senate, and we can sort out, you know, whether we're majority rule or two-thirds. And we'll work with the president of the Senate. And Senator Tapio, would you like to speak to this bill on the floor of the Senate?
Sure.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Greenfield.
A personal privilege, please.
Yes, go ahead.
In the audience, in addition to all the good-looking folks from Aberdeen, is a former page and also the sister of our legislative staffer. Maddie Kerr is here today.
Yes, we really should introduce Maddie Kerr. It's good to see you again. Thank you so much for being here. Okay, so just to wrap up and to be clear, House Bill 1044 will move down to the Senate floor on a do-pass motion. Is there any further business to bring before Senate Health and Human Services today? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Thank you, Senator Jensen, and a second by Senator Tapio to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned. All right.